Wondering what it takes to succeed in business? Welcome to the Hustle Podcast, where we share genuine stories of success and failure to guide you on your journey to achieving your goals. So we're back with another episode of the Hustle Podcast here in Dallas. And Naheed, oh my gosh, Mama Naheed is probably one of my favorites. She and her son, Chris, you all just run a phenomenal team down in Southern California. Every time I ask, do you service this area? You say yes. So your radius is so wide. So I'll let you explain what radius you cover. But I'm really excited just to connect with you and just kind of let the audience know your journey in real estate. Just so impressive. And also the doors and, you know, investments that you've made for your family. Last night we were at dinner and you told me rule number one in our family is we never sell. We hold, we hold, we hold, which I think is so cool because it's just generational wealth, passive income. So take it away, where you service and all that, and years in the business.
You are so kind. Honestly, look, you guys, I gotta tell you something about this amazing, beautiful woman in front of me is the truth. Faith is a beautiful soul inside and out. Honestly, I'm not just saying that because you're in front of me. Just for you guys to know, this is the first trip, you know, by myself. Chris is not here. Faith literally took me on her wing last night, didn't leave me to go to dinner by myself. And they just, I appreciate you more than words can describe. When we go into the business and why our service, you know, in a state of grace, bigger than the normal one, because when I started back in 1989, for years, I will say for 30 years, I was a buyer's agent. When you have buyers, you really don't dictate where they're gonna live, because depending on the needs and want, their qualification, it kind of determined where they live.
Yeah.
So based on that, then I sold a lot of homes in a lot of area.
Yeah.
And I am so blessed and grateful. All of those clients, they keep coming back, and they coming back with family and friend. So that was the reason when you call and you say, do you service this? I say yes, because it's true. I do. So that's really where my background came from. As far as becoming a realtor, it's a crazy, insane story, and I won't bore you with it. I'll just give you the highlight.
Yeah.
I came to the United States back in 1981. 16-year-old, 500 to my name. English is second language. So you know how does that feel.
Yeah.
Not really out of... is like fish out of water.
Okay. And for those listening, where are you from?
I am from Egypt. And truly, I did every honest job I can possibly do, from delivering newspaper, working in a gas station, working in a restaurant, to bring income.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a waitress and a gentleman. For the life of me, I cannot even remember his name. Shame on me. He was a broker and he said, real estate would be a good thing. I think you should do.
Yeah.
And back then there was Ed McMahon had a show with Beautiful Homes. And I always sat there and I'm like, one of those days, I had no clue what the heck his vision is. I had no clue what meditation is. All I know is like, they're beautiful homes.
Yeah.
And one day I will. And I'm grateful and thankful. So started in the business, and I was so grateful. The broker I started with, it was mainly doing penny saver ad, which is a little tiny ad in a magazine. It goes to people's houses.
And before the internet.
Before the internet.
Yeah.
And, you know, one page contract and all of that. And that's how I became buyer's agent. And back in the days, of course, it was Mike Ferry, Tommy's dad. And literally every seminar, I would get spit on. I mean, literally spit on. When he say buyer's agent, he spits on you. And I'm like, okay, you know. But I was so hungry. I made it happen.
Yeah.
I did try door knocking. I did all of that. I guess my heart was not in it. So it really, truly statement. Mm. When you do something with love and your vibes is there, everything comes to you based on what you give out. Even if you were door knocking, but your subconscious is going, this is not working, you know, it really comes back.
Yeah.
I didn't know any of that. All I know, it didn't work.
Yeah.
Now, 35, 37 years later, because of the internet, because the books I read, because of the YouTube and all of those amazing people you listen to, you know, their broadcast and all of that. Now there is a correlation.
Yeah. You're like, I see the connection.
Back then, I had no clue.
Yeah.
All I know, it didn't work. So it's like, move on.
Yeah. Next.
You know, so next, you know, because back then it was like, I gotta make the American dream happen. And the way I understood the American dream is every person should own a home.
Yeah.
So my job to facilitate, how can I get every person to own a home? So I always dig into first time buyer program, all of this, all of, right, you know, whatever is available, down payment assistant. So I really became
just immersed.
Oh, everything, anything and everything about first time buyer. I knew, yep, what it is. And door knocking was like, oh, we slammed the door on your face. I'm like, I don't like you too.
Yeah.
I just move on.
Next.
Of course, there is always two sides of the story. The listing now, I know, it is, you control your time.
Mm-hmm.
Buyers, you don't control your time.
Yeah.
So there is a give and take on everything. But honestly, at the end of the day, you got to do
what you love.
What you love.
Yeah.
Simple.
Yeah.
You know, so that's how I did it. I was told very crystal clear, you make it in the United States by our culture, church, and society, is when you buy a home, then you kind of made a presence.
Yeah.
In your
circle. Stamp.
You made the stamp.
Yeah.
So that was one of the things I just like, okay, buying homes and doing, you know, all
stamp
of that.
Stamp of approval.
Stamp of approval. And now when I look back, I am so grateful, beyond grateful, is we did not fall into the arena of leverage. We did not have that philosophy. We did not have the philosophy is buy a home today, go refinance tomorrow, pull the money out, buy another home. No. The way we operate is we don't like to owe money. So I'm going to buy a home and I'm going to pay it off and I'm done.
Gotcha.
And the rent coming in is a paycheck. So that's one of the philosophy I explain to my client is like, we are all getting older. Mm-hmm. There is no ifs or buts about it. 1 + 1 = 2. Same thing. So the question I always ask my client is, can you sit down with a pencil and a piece of paper? And the reason I do a pencil and a piece of paper and not in our head, because our head cannot contain all the thoughts.
Right.
Especially our brain always tries to help us. So if it needs to delete something, it will delete it without you recognizing it got deleted.
Right.
Okay. Because at the end of the day, I just want to help you. I just want to make you feel good. I want to make you feel you're succeeding. So when you put it on a pencil and piece of paper, then your eyes can see it and it remind your brain, wait, there is something else. I didn't write it down.
Okay. Right.
So I asked him to write down, how much is it costing me today to live the lifestyle I'm living?
Mm-hmm.
And is that the lifestyle I want to live when it is time for me to retire? 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, okay? And once you have that list written down, okay, is the job I have, do I have a retirement? Do I have a 401k? Or do I'm going to count on Social Security? God willing, it will be there, but based on what's going on, it might not be there. And if it is, it's going to be very minimal.
Right.
Okay. So I wanted you to look at that now when you are in your 20s and your 30s and your 40s, because at age 60, it will come.
Yeah.
It will come. Yeah. It is how the medical and everything, we're living longer,
yeah.
You know. So I wanted you to look at that. And then the second component is, can I look at how much inflation going to be, how much the cost of good is going to be 10, 20, 30 years from now, and then work it backwards. Right now, because of work, you're only able to go on vacation 1 week, 2 weeks. Well, when you're retired,
you want to go more. Yeah.
You have 30 days. So you work so hard all your life to one day you will enjoy those travel, but then when that one day comes, I don't have the fund for.
Mm-hmm.
That's one. The second one I asked to put down on paper, right now we're healthy and we have the activity because of the age. So the age is helping us a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when I'm 60, what happened to that body? That body's been working for 60 years. And if I didn't keep it moving,
it's going to come to a screeching halt.
It's going to come to screeching halt. So, okay, I don't have fund. My body's not giving me. And is it too late for me to do something about it?
Yeah.
So that is what I always tell my client is. So there is an investment part, and the investment is, what are we going to invest in?
Yeah.
Are we going to invest in homes? We're going to invest in stock. We're going to invest in both. We're going to invest in our health.
Mm-hmm.
What are we investing in
for this greater life?
For that greater life.
Yeah.
You know, or are we planning on, I'm going to rely on my kids.
Yeah.
And how would you know if your kids is even going to be able to?
Mm-hmm.
They love you, but they don't have the means.
Yeah.
And they didn't count on taking care of you.
Right. And I think with, like, obviously your background of coming to the U.S. and that passion and that almost like that, maybe like that person behind you always driving you, like, I have to show up, I have to work, I have to do this. Like, you have a different work ethic and mindset that life hasn't been given to you. You've earned, like, you've worked for it, you know?
Correct.
And I think that's such a, any type, you know, family, friends in similar situations where they've come to the United States, it's like, there's just such a different mentality you carry in business, in life, in respect for, like, what you do. Because you realize maybe it could be taken away.
Correct.
You know?
Correct.
Out of curiosity, parents, did they come over to the States when you?
So I came, myself and my sister, which is 2 years younger, with my mom, because under the age of 21, you're attached to the parent.
Okay.
And I came in, and we were a year, the three of us, until my dad came in. And then after my dad came in, all my siblings, and I'm the second to the youngest. We were eight children, four girls and four boys.
Wow.
Yes. And I felt, because I came first, I was responsible. I needed to build some kind of foundation for my family.
So that,
you know, my
that this is successful.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I'm so grateful to a country you can wake up in the morning and say, I want to be a millionaire. And everything around you goes, go for it. Go for it.
Yeah.
There is this way, this way, this way, this way.
Yeah.
In Egypt, I didn't have that opportunity.
Yeah.
Being a woman, being a Christian, I didn't have that.
Yeah.
Even I want it so bad.
It just wasn't around.
It was not around. So that is, and you're right, that could be with my upbringing and all of that. But honestly, I will tell you something, and I don't know who would relate to it, who's not, but I'm going to say it anyway. Because of the fact I came from having nothing as far as financial, had the love, had the family and all of that, but financial, I had nothing. So here I am, 40 some odd years later. The bank account has it.
Mm-hmm.
The property has it. The financial is there. But I have here the scarcity mindset.
The mindset.
Mindset. And yeah. That's the one I am really, and I'm grateful I recognize it, because for the longest, I didn't know. I didn't know why I will buy expensive things for my children, but I won't buy it for me. And I didn't know why.
Yeah.
Because I always find an excuse. I can't afford it. I can't do this. This is a waste of money. And that's a huge thing. Waste of money. What the hell?
Yeah.
Where did you got that waste of?
Yeah.
Why is it not waste of money for, you know, for my children?
Yeah. Why is it to you?
Why is it to me? And I finally recognize is my mind is still go into, what if it's all gone today?
Mm-hmm.
Then what gonna happen tomorrow?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's that fear.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the things I will say, do anything and everything to dissolve that fear.
Yeah.
Because you don't get to enjoy this moment.
Yeah.
Because you're worried
always
about.
Always ready. Yep. The future. And I think that was like, I've said it on a few podcasts in the beginning. It was like when we started in our business, it was like we had really good years. And it was my mindset of like, we just had a really good year. Like, what if it was just a really good year? And then it was just like, do I actually have what it takes to continue to go forward and actually build this and whatnot? And so your scarcity mindset obviously has different layers and multiple factors to it. But it's hard because then it's, I think then you don't get to, it's like you are grateful for what you have in your bank account and your assets and your kids and everything like that. But there's always that you're almost can't even stay present in that moment because you've moved on to the next thing of almost like you're in defense mode. You're reactive to everything.
Yes.
Like, oh, I'll protect it here. I'll protect it there. You know, I got to take this deal because then it'll have a trickle effect for my kids, all that.
Yes.
How you have navigated your clients and, you know, investing and kind of taking this American dream and almost painting it in such an authentic and beautiful way, just because you understand it so differently than just, I'm just going to say it, the average American, because of all the work and effort that you did to, you know, be here and get here and then prove yourself here for your family. You also have been investing also for your legacy.
Yes.
And you buy houses, pay them off.
Yeah.
How has that been important for you in the investing side? Like, you know, I know that I asked before we started this, I was like, how many doors do you have? You're like, please don't ask that because I don't know exactly. But I know that you invest a lot. So it's are all your properties paid off right now?
Yes.
Wow.
I'm
very incredible.
Very grateful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
That's incredible.
And I think it has a lot to do with we didn't fall into the way they call it, the zones. Mm-hmm. We kept into our lane as far as how we live. Vacation was a huge part in our life. So mm-hmm. We went on vacation. That was big, big, big.
Yeah.
And live comfortable, but not live lavish life.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I think that has a lot to do with
been able to focus to pay off the
property. To pay off the property and get them, you know, and the rent is coming in and mm-hmm. and you're comfortable. And really truly is one of the things you would, you know, it's more into having the vision of how long would it take. So that's a lot of times I do with my clients. So there is like a calculator, mm-hmm. and on the calculator, you put on there how much the loan is,
yeah.
how much the interest is, how much the amount of years, okay? Mm-hmm. And then you can walk your client through, look, if we pay $200 a month extra,
yeah.
you can pay that off in so many years.
Yeah.
If you pay $300, you pay it in. So when you give that tool to your client and walk them through it, then it's
like, a practical way to.
It is. It gives him that, oh, only 100 and yeah. I'm cutting off 10 years, only 200 and I'm cutting off
yeah. this.
So you empower them with, I can do this.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so that is one more thing I always like, you know, and the simplest way I make it to my clients so they can pay it off is if your payment is 12 payment a year,
mm-hmm.
if you pay 13 payments, so you take one payment and you divide it into 12, you're mm-hmm. done in 21 years to 22 years, depending yeah. on. So, okay, so that's the one way. The other way makes life easier. Do every bi-weekly payment. So take your mortgage payment, divide it into half, and pay it every 2 weeks. Then you end up making that extra 1 month payment without mm-hmm. you even feeling a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like those simple hacks that, like, just like you said, reduces down the debt,
yes.
pays it off, etc. So before we close out, sure. my last question to you is if you've seen obviously so many markets.
Yes.
You have tons of experience. There's a lot of noise in the real estate market. Should I buy? Should I wait? All these things. What is your advice for all the markets that you've seen to somebody who is thinking about buying or selling right now in 2024?
So the truth is there is no perfect time.
Yeah.
There is no exact time for you to try to time the price. Time the interest rate.
Yeah.
Time every single steps on the market. It will never be correctly.
Yeah.
But there is a beautiful, amazing right time for you. So I would say first step is to find out based on my income today,
mm-hmm.
based on my debts today, can I qualify for a home and what program is available for me.
Yeah.
And based on that result, then you can plan out, I'm going to be in the next 3 months, in the next 6 months, in the next 12 months, a year and a half, whatever it is, and get yourself into a home. I don't care what kind of a home you buy. Buy a shack.
Yeah.
Buy something. And if you cannot do it where you live because it's just out of your price range, go out of a state and buy something and rent it out.
Yeah. Like at least start it.
Start somewhere.
Yeah.
And don't wait for the market because the market gonna continue changing.
Yeah. Well, my last questions I always ask is, we actually didn't really totally cover this, but where do you service?
Okay.
Why are people moving to your area?
Okay.
And then your average sales price.
Okay. So my office is in Norwalk, California, Southeast LA. So we cover LA, Orange County, Riverside, San Bernardino area.
The list goes on.
And the list goes on. Our average price is about $820,000. I always pride myself by being a first-time buyer. Now in our area, first-time buyers is so expensive, to be yeah. truthfully honest with you. The reason people move to our area, which they are already living there, they're renting, they're just figuring out
moving up.
What would it take to buy their first home or buy their second home. And go on with that, to be truthfully yeah. honest with you.
That's amazing. Well, I have visited a few times, but what is the one thing that you tell people if they're visiting your area specifically that you live in, that they have to do, try the tourist part?
So if you visit where I live currently, which is Newport Beach, The beach is beautiful.
It's free.
Amazing. It is free. And that's honestly the beauty about where we at and where we live, all of us. Everything is really free.
Yeah.
It's really, really free. It's just a matter for us to take a moment, look at the waves, and just, you know, take it all in. If you know how to swim, go for a swim. If you're like me, just sit and watch the waves. There's just so many walks, so many, you know, the fun zone, and it's just the ferry rides and, you know, so there's so many beautiful places. If you ever come down to Newport.
Yeah. You know, absolutely.
Say hi.
Well, I love just your joy, your spirit, everything.
Thank you.
How you serve people. You just shine so much, just beauty. Where can people find you on Instagram? What's the best place for people to connect with you, especially if they're thinking about moving to Newport Beach or the surrounding areas? What's the best place?
Instagram is Nahid the Realtor. Facebook is the same Nahid. And yeah, just connect. And honestly, just for whatever it is, know you're in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
And God doesn't make mistakes.
Yeah.
He have you complete.
Yeah.
No matter where you're at in your life.
Yeah. Well, Mama Nahid, thank you so much.
Love you. Thank you.
Thanks.